Let's continue our study in 1 Corinthians. I'd like you to take your Bible. If you have a Scofield Bible, you can go to page 1213. If not, just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we are going to pick up in verse 9. We're continuing this series verse by verse through 1 Corinthians titled Growing Pains, and it's addressing the different areas of concern within the Corinthian church. Paul reached the Corinthian church and spent a long time there, left, and then heard some things and had to write a letter to them correcting them. I think one of the greatest things we can see as believers in the behavior of the Corinthian church is that for those who had trusted in Christ, they still remained in Christ. They were not removed from the body of Christ. They did not lose their salvation because of the way that they behaved and how wicked they were living and how carnal they were. They stayed in the body of Christ, and that is a great reminder that once you are saved, you're always saved, and that's not something that could ever change. And I think it's important to start with that because we're going to be talking about tonight things that are revealed from the nature of man, the spirit of man, and things that are revealed from the spirit of God. One of the things that happens when a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they receive something. Many things happen, but one of the greatest things that happens is that person receives the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is automatic. It happens the moment that you believe. There's something else that the Holy Spirit can do for you as well, and that is the filling or the controlling of the Holy Spirit. Now, in different movements of different religious beliefs, some believe that the filling of the Holy Spirit is very evident. You're speaking in tongues. You're speaking with great power and authority. It's a very outward display. A test of that is what the person's saying, what they're doing. Is it bringing the attention to themselves or is it bringing the attention to Christ? Because in John chapter 15, it talks about how the Holy Spirit, or excuse me, John 14, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to be a comforter, but he's also going to testify, Jesus is, he says, of me. So we can look at how is a person filled with the Holy Spirit? It's very simple, and that is by making right decisions that align with the Word of God. Acting out in the Spirit is not something like speaking in tongues. It's maybe not even something that you can see. It is just a simple obedience to the Lord. It's being a disciple. It's being a follower. And then as circumstances come up in your life, you're able to discern how you make those decisions because you are filled with the Spirit. So as you walk in the flesh, you're filled with the flesh. You're still indwelt with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides in you, and we can grieve the Holy Spirit. If we're not careful, if we live a wicked carnal life, we certainly can grieve the Holy Spirit. But as you live a righteous life, as you follow Christ, as Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ, God will be able to use you. You'll receive blessings. I believe doors are open through circumstances, and God works in that way through wise counsel. But it's very easy to be deceived. And you need to be aware that you can be deceived. The first step of deception is any kind of counsel that contradicts the Word of God. And this was happening in the Corinthian church. It's very important that you know who you're seeking counsel from. This is why the Word of God has to be the only authority, the final authority in a believer's life, because that's how God has chosen to reveal Himself to us and how He has given us instruction for how to live a life. So when you hear advice or counsel that contradicts the Word of God, I think it's wise that you make a decision, if you haven't already, to let the Word of God be what is obeyed. There are rarely ever exceptions to that. Look what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us, and you should mark how that revealing happens, by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So Paul is talking here, remember, In chapter 1, they had a problem. The Corinthian believers had a problem. They were putting Peter or Paul or Apollos above the teachings of Jesus Christ. They were getting into these different sections, and many of these were Greek people, so they really valued knowledge and wisdom. And you can see that in our culture today. You know, it's almost like before you listen to somebody, you want to know their education. You want to know what they've studied. If someone's telling you something that is scientific, you want to make sure that they are speaking from a scientific background, that they have that education. Pretty interesting that a lot of people that are being pushed by the media as scientists, they're not. When you look at their record, when you look at what they got an education in, they're not scientists. Is that a problem? You don't want me teaching you auto mechanics, because I'm not going to be able to really teach you anything that lasts. Here's what I'll tell you if your car doesn't work. Did you unplug it and restart it? You have to unplug it and wait 10 seconds and then, you know, try it again. Is that good information for an auto mechanic to have? No, you don't want me to be the one who tries to fix a plumbing issue. You know what I'm going to tell you if you have a plumbing issue? Did you unplug the toilet and let it reset and then plug it back in? Strike it on the side a couple of times and maybe it'll work. Isn't it funny as a side note how often that sometimes works? When something is not working, you just strike it on the side real quick and all of a sudden it's like, whoop, sorry. We're just having a little delay there. You want to make sure that where people are coming from, they're coming from a place of education, a place of wisdom or knowledge in that particular area. Well, there are two areas that are proposed here in verse, there's a general thing in verse 10. Look what it says. For the Spirit searcheth all things. So the things of man and the things of God, the Spirit searches them. Yea, the deep things of God. And look at verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Everything that mankind knows is of mankind. Man cannot know the things of God unless it is presented to him by God. And I believe the Scripture teaches that all Scripture is by inspiration of God. So we have right here God revealing to us the things that we could not know otherwise. When I look at the world today, there's a very present movement for information. You can get information through a search engine. You can get it through media outlets. You can get it through books, which you've been able to do for a long time. But now the presence of information is vast. There's so many places where you can go to get information. And there are people that are, they're not bad people in the eyes of man, but they just are trying to answer questions that man can't answer. We're trying to answer the question of where did we come from? Well, God's word has already given us an answer. What has man done with that answer? They've written it off. They've said, this is just a story. It's not a real account. And they now try to fill that gap with something else. Evolution has filled that gap. We look at how what's the best world government? Is it capitalism? Is it socialism, communism? Is it anarchy? What's best? And there's a competition to find out which one is the right one. All these things are things of man, and only man can know those things. Man can't do things of God without God revealing to him how that is done. Look in verse 10. As it says here, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now in context, Paul is speaking about the things that he has received are of God. They've been revealed to him by the Spirit. In application, you and I, when we become believers, receive the ability to understand spiritual things. Now, I'm not talking about the spiritual realm. I'm not talking about being able to, you know, connect yourself with the spiritual realm and things, but you can understand the Word of God because you have an aid within you. The Holy Spirit helps you in that way. Verse 11, look at the rest of verse 11 where we dropped off after that question. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, I just want to take a side trip off for a second, and I want to look in the book of Job. So if you'll turn over to the book of Job, it's on page 594 in a Scofield Bible. We're going to look in Job chapter 38. As I was studying, I couldn't help but think about this dialogue that God has with Job. You know the story of Job, a very good man. He offered sacrifices properly for his family. The devil came before God and said, if you allow me to take all of his possessions away from him, then he will curse you. And so God allowed that, and Job in one day lost all that he had, did not curse God. So the devil came back and said, if you allow me to touch his health, then he will curse you. And God said, you can do that, just do not kill him. And so then Job had boils all over his body. This is insane. They were so pressurized that he had to cut them with pieces of pottery to just have relief from that tension that was on him. And Job famously is said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, now his friends have come and given him all these things as to why he is in the condition that he's in. And now God gets to talk. And if you look in Job chapter 38, God asks some very big questions. Questions that you and I, if we are humble, we cannot answer. Look what it says in Job 38 in verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words? And you should just underline this here, without knowledge. You know what this tells me? That we can speak and not know what we're talking about. You ever had that happen to you? Maybe you're in an argument with somebody and they make a point and you're just enraged by that. And so you just start talking and you're thinking, it'll come to me. And then about six sentences in, you're going, it hasn't hit me yet. You realize you're just speaking without knowledge. Boy, that is happening today. In the eyes of God, all of these God deniers and people who say that God is not real or that this is right or that is wrong, they're speaking without knowledge. Look at verse 3. Gird up now thy loins like a man. Ooh. This is an instruction to get ready to move. Get ready to track with me because I'm going to take you on a little journey, man without knowledge. For I will now demand of thee, and answer thou me. And we're not going to look at the entire chapter, but just a couple of questions here. Verse 4, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Do you see the picture of God speaking to man, his creation, and saying, where were you when I spoke this into existence? Humbling, right? It puts it in perspective. Here I am, man. Let me get a stepladder and go all the way up to the top of the sanctuary and say, here's God. Not comparable. The things of man are not to be compared with the things of God. Man does not know the things of God unless God has revealed them to him. Look what it says in the rest of verse 4. Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it. And do you see what he's doing here? What do you think Job's doing? Oh, I got an answer for that. Hang on. Hey, Google, who laid the blanket swaddling thing? Who did that? What's Google going to say? Not anything that's right. But we look at that and we say, ooh, knowledge. We have knowledge. Look in chapter 40 of Job. Moreover, in verse 1 of chapter 40 of Job, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, "Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him?" Now, today's culture would say, well, God is knowledge-shaming Job. Let me be real clear. Yes, he is. Because if you pay attention to the description of who is doing the knowledge-shaming, it is what in verse 2? The Almighty. Okay? And if you have the perspective of a meek and humble servant, you recognize that you do not possess the knowledge that is required to please God unless that knowledge has been presented to you. This is why the study of God's Word is so important in a believer's life. It's why we have the college here. The college is not here to make money. The college is not here to bring fame to the church. It is to be another channel for the Word of God to be clearly taught to those that are seeking. And if you're wise, you'll take that knowledge and apply it to your life. But these friends of Job, and even Job himself, they're trying to instruct God in how to do things or why things are the way that they are. Look what it says at the end of verse 2. "He that reproveth God, let him answer it." So now Job is not only in a person who is contending the knowledge of the Almighty, he's also, as the rest of that verse says, he's reproving God, standing in judgment of God. Boy, I hear that a lot. You have heard that too. If God is all loving and all kind, why? Blah, 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 blah. If God really cares, then why? Blah, blah, blah. You know. And maybe if you have a moment of honesty within yourself, you've asked God those same questions. I don't think it's wrong to ask those questions. I think it's wrong to demand that you deserve an answer that puts God in the wrong. Everything that happens in this world that is wicked and vile and unfair is a product of sin. And we have to wrestle with the fact that life will not always be fair, but we can find joy. But we can find peace. Principally, peace with God. Isn't that a good thing to know? That all is not misery and woe and lost. Hallelujah. God sent a solution in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the all-loving, all-knowing, all-kind God. He did something about it. We still live in a fallen world. It was brought to my attention, this horrible thing that happened in Nashville. Are you all familiar with that? With that bombing that happened outside of the old AT&T store? A friend of ours sent us a text message, and it was something about there's another vehicle that was discovered today, and there's a bunch of bomb squad things going on and all that. So I started to look into it, and it, really chilling stuff. There's an audio clip of what this RV was playing, you know, seconds before it exploded. Intentional. Somebody planned that out to do harm against somebody's property or against an individual. That's the world that we live in. That's not a product of God. God did not author that. That's a product of sin, of man. Look at what the rest of this passage says. Look at verse 3. God asks Job a couple of questions here. Never mind chapter 38 and 39 where he asks question after question after question. But Job answers this with his answer here. "Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth." You ever had to do that to yourself? It's just like, hey, stop. No more. You've said enough. Look what verse 5 says. "Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further." Job has understood. He has reached understanding. God, you are God. I am vile. Well, that's not fair. Job has value. Job has worth. it might not be any worth that we would really consider in the eyes of God, but oh, don't make him feel bad. Do you see how that could be an answer from today's culture? You've got to be in the position of humility. Job knew who he was in comparison to the Almighty. He was but a man demanding why from God. Okay, here's the why. Here's the answer. And he recognized his proper standing before God. Now, here's what's great about the believer. I mean, if you're here tonight and you're not a believer, you have not put your faith in Christ, you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for the payment of your sin, you're not in good standing with God. You need to get that fixed. Because if you were to die tonight without having a payment for your sin applied to your account, you're spending an eternity separated from God in a lake of fire. That's your standing as a lost person. How do you fix that standing? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're saved. You're translated from death into life. Isn't that good? So, now as a believer, what's your position? You're sanctified, you're set apart, you're holy, you're righteous in the eyes of God. But you still have a sin nature that you struggle with. And you're going to continue to struggle with it for the rest of your life. So what do you do about that? I believe the biblical response to that is know God's word and practice it. Know God's word and practice it. And here, let me just give you a little cheat sheet, all right? This is going to the back of the puzzle and turning the book upside down and seeing the answer. You will never arrive until the day that you die. The day that you have arrived is the day that you... And that's it. You pass on. Very quickly, I just want you to look in chapter 41 of Job. Chapter 41 of Job. Verse 42. Verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. This same God that Job addressed later blessed Job with double what he had before. See, God is not this judge that has no ability to demonstrate love. He has demonstrated the love that no man could ever demonstrate to another man, in that he gave his only son, his one and only son, as a payment for the thing that condemned us. So now, if you just go back to 1 Corinthians, in chapter 2, having looked at that exchange between God and Job, understand what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 12. This is on page 1213. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, which I contend questions God, demands, you know, sits in judgment of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. Know what? The things that are freely given to us of God. You can know God things. You can have God knowledge. Why? Because God has given to us of His Spirit. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Ooh, I just like that. Contextually, I like that because it's resetting the thoughts of these Corinthian believers. Corinthian believers, you were raised in that man carries knowledge and wisdom of the heavenlies and of things unseen, but that's not true. God has communicated to us, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual with spiritual. That's how you grow. That's how you become a tool that God can use for great things. I was talking to a person the other day, and they asked me, when did you know that God wanted you to do great things? And I said, I knew that God wanted me to do great things when he asked me to be obedient. And I chose to be obedient. And you can have the same type of life, you can have that same type of experience if you allow yourself to be humble and obey God's word. And there's a very important verse that comes to mind right now. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Do you want to be a person that brings glory to God? If the answer is yes, then the way you do that, solve for X equals win souls. Win souls. Win souls. Start there. The woman at the well was a very effective soul winner, and she had no formal education outside of talking with Jesus Christ. But she went back and told the entire city what she had encountered. And you've heard me recount, you know, the disciples plodding back. Oh, you said you have meat. I don't see any hamburgers. What was Jesus talking about? The souls of the men that were in those cities and the women that were in those cities. Does it move you to know that Christ wept when he looked at Jerusalem? And he said, how often I would have gathered you together, but you would not. What a man. All the power in the world. Look what he endured on the cross. For me. I asked a person the other day, when Jesus Christ was on the cross, how many of your sins were future sins? Blew a fuse. I remember the first time that question was asked of me. It blew a fuse. Because I was like, wait a second. They were all future. So when Christ said it is finished, does he mean it is finished up until the moment you believe and then there's a new tab opened of new sins? No. It is finished. It's completed. It's done. It's all done. It's finished. Aren't you? Isn't that nice? You ever started something and then finished it? Laundry, right? It's the only thing that never gets done. I'm just kidding. But you start, like, let's say, you know, an education or something that takes a long, long time, and then you complete it. It's done. Florida Bible College is not going to come back and say, Jesse, you have one more credit left. Are you ready? No. Because I have a degree that says, I finished. And you and I have a receipt in the resurrection that says, my sin's paid for. Isn't that a good thing? Man, there's nothing in the world like it. That's God knowledge. That's God life. Eternal life that can only be offered by God. And so now all of the scripture that we have here, as it says in verse 13, that we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth. Sure, this is Paul's writing. This is Paul's writing style. But it's not his words. He was given these specific thoughts and ideas from the Holy Spirit. This is a book that is of God. So you as a believer that want to learn and want to grow and want to know what God's purpose is for your life should recognize how important the study of God's word is in your life and apply yourself to it. You should recognize how important it is to win souls and apply yourself to it. Look at the rest of verse 14. We're almost done here. But the natural man, the lost man, the one who cannot understand the things of God because he's of man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So Paul is saying, all these philosophers and even the people amongst yourself who claim to have all this wisdom and knowledge, it might be wisdom of knowledge, but it's just man's wisdom. They don't receive God's wisdom, which was given to you through me, Paul, by the Spirit. And each one of these believers have the Spirit now. So they can also get the right kind of wisdom and knowledge if they understand the proper source. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. You remember foolishness, right? We talked about it in chapter 1. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to man, but it's how God has chosen to confound the wise, to make low the prideful. Now, I want to just say this very quickly because you might take it all the way to the extreme that a lost person is so lost that they can't make a decision to believe on Christ without God first moving in them. That's not true. People will use this passage to make proof for that. God has revealed to us, and I showed you this a couple of weeks ago in 1 John chapter 5, for time we're not going to go there. God has revealed, He has testified of Himself through His Son. So any person can believe on Jesus Christ. God doesn't have to magically, mysteriously work in them first and make them believe. God simply presented a solution and holds every man accountable. What have you done with Jesus? But man who tries to find God without going through Christ will just be caught in man's knowledge. Lifted up in pride. The one who tries to instruct the Almighty. I cringe when I hear modern pastors say, all roads lead to God. That's not true. It's not true. It is not true. And it never will be true. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Who said that? Jesus Christ. And you study, just as a, you study other world religions and you see they're all works-based. All of them. And all of them have zero guarantees except that you will work. Christianity, biblical Christianity, is the only account of God intervening for His creation, meeting the need by offering Himself. Good stuff. Look at the rest of verse 14. Neither can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. Look in verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Why? Man doesn't sit in judgment of me because now I'm not of man. I'm a child of God. Now, that doesn't mean I walk around saying, bow down to me, unchild of God, for I am a child of God. We have a great account of how Peter behaved after he healed the man in the gate called Beautiful. When people came down to worship him, he said, get up. I'm a man, as you. Even angels don't receive worship. The only one who was given worship and received it, you know the answer. It's the Sunday school answer. Jesus Christ. When he received worship, or when worship was given to him, he rightfully received it. And you study in Philippians 2, the lowering of Christ, the kenosis of Christ, how he lowered himself further and further and further, all the way to the form of a servant, even to be put to shame on the cross. Hebrews 12, he endured that for the joy that was set before him. Those are spiritual things. And now when you as a lost person, you as someone who does not know you're going to heaven when you die, when you put your faith in Jesus, when you believe on him in that one moment, eternity becomes settled for you. And now you're given the Spirit and you can now understand and discern, as this verse says, spiritual things. Verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? Now, you remember what we looked at in Job, right? You remember what God asked Job. You're not going to have all the answers to those questions. But you can know the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him through what? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the greatness of Jesus Christ. This is the gift that we receive. It's like a bonus. Don't you like extra things? I like extra cheese. You know what I'm saying? Would you like fries with that? Yeah, I would. Chick-fil-A, man, they're so nice. Sometimes if you wait a long time, they'll give you free things. So I'll go through the drive-thru in neutral. And they'll just be like, oh man, he didn't make it on time. Let's give him a free, you know, I'm kidding. I don't do that. If you do that and it works, let me know, though. It might put in the church bulletin or something. But don't you like when you get some extra things? Look, God has not only given us eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ, but He's given us the ability to have wisdom and knowledge and follow Him, and He will reward us for it. Isn't that a good thing? Man, I love that. See, I'm thankful for my salvation, and I want to do something about it. I'm so glad that I don't have to demonstrate my thankfulness to actually receive it. Aren't you glad of that? Well, Armando, you weren't really thankful. Take it away. You're going to hell now. What? Whether Armando is thankful or not, poor guy, he didn't even know he was going to be an illustration tonight. Whether he's thankful or not does not determine whether he's saved or not. Who has he put his trust in? That's what determines his eternal life. But now we have this free gift now. What are we going to do with the time that we have left? Aren't you glad that God has given you time to do something for Him? To do great things? The Bible talks about vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Hey, I want to be a vessel of honor. How about you? Understand that there are spiritual things and there are natural things. Things of man and things of God. And seek the things of God. And realize, as it says in the end of verse 16 here, we have the mind of Christ. Isn't that a good thing? That's a good thing. Now, next week, we'll get into a little bit more in chapter 3, where Paul is going to really start digging deep. He's going to be on pressure points, things that are tough, things that are going to be like, Paul, I know that's there. You don't have to remind me. And I think it'll be an encouragement to you as we continue this study through 1 Corinthians. If I'd like, I'd just like to have your attention for this illustration here, because this is the most important thing about what I've said tonight. This is God knowledge. This is something that God has revealed to us through the record of His Son. I'm going to do it a little bit differently just for the sake of an illustration. You know this hand represents you and me. My wallet represents sin. I'm going to put it on top of my hand. We've all sinned, right? This hand represents Jesus Christ. He was perfect and He had no sin. John 3:16, one of the most famous verses in the world, and it's more and more, it's not known by people because people are not raised knowing the Bible anymore. For God so loved the world, that's you and me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever is anybody, believeth is what you got to do. That's it. Is simply believe on the work that Christ has already done. Romans 4:5 tells us that believing on Christ is not a work. Whosoever believeth in Him, and I move the sin from the sinner onto Christ because that's what He did on the cross. All of our sins were laid upon Him. He cried out, "It is finished." The illustration or the significance of that statement is that our sin was completed. The payment for our sin was completed. And He died and He rose again 3 days later. So now when you believe on what He did, all your sin is paid. You are seen now with the righteousness of God and you're good now. You're set. Your sin has been paid for. That's the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man says, work, 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 do, 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 commit, turn from, start, stop, and then you get. Jesus says, I did it. Do you believe? This probably is not accurate, but can you imagine a little kid, Christmas time, looks underneath the tree, there's one gift for him, right? And it just says, from whoever to the little child. And the little child looks at the gift and doesn't open it. Okay. Days go by. The Christmas tree comes down. The decorations come down. He still hasn't opened the gift. Does it change the fact that the gift was given to him? Is it his yet? He hasn't received it. It's the same thing with the gift of eternal life. It's been offered to you. You just simply have to receive it. And you receive it by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment that happens, you're saved. There's no test. It's like that kid opening the gift and then the gift giver saying, all right, let's see if you meet the requirements. Is that fair to that poor kid? That's not a gift. That's a terms and condition. And we already signed enough of those, right? It's a free gift. Will you receive it? Will you believe? And that's something you can settle today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heads are bowed, please, and eyes are closed for nobody looking around. If you're here this evening and you don't know about your eternal destination, you do not know if you are saved. Well, the Bible says you can know. You know you're a sinner already. Maybe you've learned tonight that there's a payment for your sin. And you've also learned that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, onto the cross to take all of your sin and put it on Himself. And He made a payment for you. Maybe you've never understood it quite like that before. You do not have to turn from your sin to be saved. You do not have to live a good life to prove that you're saved. It's a one-time decision to believe on Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, won't you do that tonight in the quietness of this moment? Will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the payment He made for your sins? His resurrection is proof that what He did was good. So right now, as we have everyone with their head bowed and eyes closed, is there anyone that would just say, Pastor Jesse, tonight I believed on Jesus for the first time, and I'd like to pray for you. Is there anyone by a raised hand that would say, I trusted Christ for the first time tonight? Anyone at all? Raising your hand doesn't save you. It just lets me know that you understand. Heads are bowed and eyes are still closed. Friend, don't be Job. Don't be the Job that questioned and sat in judgment of God or Job's friends. Know that God loves you immensely, cares for you. Know His word and be committed to reaching souls. Father, thank You for all that You've done this evening. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for eternal life, giving it to us freely by simply believing. Father, I ask that You do a great work in this country through Christians, that many would see the need to lead people to You as we are running out of time. Thank You for this ministry. I ask that You bless it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.